सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज। अहं त्वां सर्वपापेभ्यो मोक्षयिष्यामि मा शुचः। Now I will read the word for word meaning for this verse. Kindly repeat after me. Sarva dharman, all varieties of religion. Parityajya, abandoning. Mam, unto me. Ekam, only. Sharanam, surrender. Vraja, go. Aham, I. Tvam, you. Sarva, all. Papebhyaha, from sinful reactions. Mokshaishyami, deliver. Ma, not. Shuchaha, worry. Translation. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. I will now read the commentary or the purport that is given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The commentary is a little long, but that is the system we follow, because in our parampara, we understand that the potency for speaking spiritual knowledge comes from repeating the words of the previous acharyas. So it is necessary for us to understand what the acharyas have to say, and then we can go ahead and discuss the verse. Purport. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge, processes of religion, knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Supersoul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many different ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the 8th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will ultimately lead to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order. But if by executing his duty, one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion, and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reaction. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the super soul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, empiric philosophers, mystics and devotees are all called transcendentalists. But one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, ma shuchaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this verse, number 66 of the 18th chapter, is considered to be one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Because in this one verse, Lord Krishna summarizes the entire teachings of the whole Gita. He has instructed Arjuna previously in 17 chapters, and this is now the 18th chapter. He has told him many processes, many paths. He has given him much knowledge. But in the end, he concludes just by this one resounding clarion call to Arjuna. Arjuna, just abandon all varieties of religion, simply surrender to me. So this prospect of surrender, of accepting authority, is very repulsive to us in the material world. In this world, nobody likes to surrender. In fact, the mentality of people in this material world is that everyone wants to be the lord and master of everything. We all want to be the enjoyer, we want to be the controller. Nobody wants to be the servant. In fact, among devotees, in the community of devotees, whenever we write to each other, we habitually sign off the letter. Instead of writing yours sincerely or yours faithfully, we habitually write your servant. Because the devotees consider themselves to be servants of the whole world. Servants particularly of God and therefore of the whole world. So once one of our devotees, out of habit, he wrote to somebody who was not a devotee, your servant. And that person wrote back to him saying, what kind of people are you? Are you a servant? So being a servant is thought of as somebody who comes to clean your vessels in the house. That is just our conception of servant. But actually, being servant is not such a repulsive thing. Being servant is actually the most glorious thing. But the question is, whose servant do you want to become? That is the question. Everyone wants to become servant of somebody. Everyone is surrendering to somebody. we have no choice. We are all surrendering. In fact, it is the constitutional position. It is a natural, the nature of the soul to be servant of somebody, to surrender to somebody. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishner Nitya Das. The soul or the spirit soul is the Jivatma, is the eternal servant of Lord Krishna. Eternally. But somehow or the other, the spirit soul has now identified with this material body that is made of some flesh and bones and blood and mucus and urine and stool. Originally, the soul belongs to the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, the Vaikuntha Loka, paradise. But because out of misuse of his free will, the soul desired to enjoy independently. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan Ki Jai. So originally the home of the spirit soul is in the kingdom of God, where he is carrying out his constitutional function of serving God. But somehow or the other, by misuse of his free will, the spirit soul develops the propensity or the desire to want to enjoy separately and independently from Lord Krishna. So he is cast here into this material world. He is thrown here. And he is given freedom to try to enjoy. So this material world is actually the expert arrangement of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna for the delusion and bewilderment of all the so-called false enjoyers of this world. We are all false enjoyers because we are all trying to lord it over. So ultimately, when we try to enjoy in this material world, Lord Krishna says it is not possible because this world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. You cannot be happy in this world. You cannot become the enjoyer. So Lord Krishna wants us to learn from our own experience in this world. So after long, long years, after millions and millions of lifetimes of frustration, why frustration? Because all our efforts at enjoyment are frustrated. They're all in vain. By virtue of our attempts to be happy, by virtue of our attempts to enjoy, we find that we are only drawing more suffering upon ourselves. We are going through a cycle of repeated births and for millions and millions of lifetimes. So ultimately all our efforts at enjoyment are doomed to failure. So sooner or later, after millions or trillions and trillions and trillions of lives, sometime some fortunate spirit soul comes to his senses that, my God, I have been so many millions of lives in this material world. I have been suffering for so long. So he comes to his senses, realizes his eternal position as the servant of Lord Krishna, and then surrenders to him. Brahmanda Bhramite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. After wandering through many, many different species, after wandering through many different universes, some fortunate soul, Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, by the grace of Guru and Lord Krishna, comes to surrender. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, also Lord Krishna explains the same thing. He says, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudevah Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. He says, after many, many lifetimes of acquiring knowledge, one who is truly situated in knowledge, he understands. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Vasudeva is another name for Lord Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, the Lord Krishna is everything. And then what does he do? Prapadyate. Maam evaya prapadyate. He surrenders to me, Lord Krishna says. And such a person is called a Mahatma. But such a person is very rare, sudurlabha, because very few people in this world are interested in surrendering to the Supreme Lord. Everyone wants to surrender to their own senses, to their boss in the office, to the state government, to the central government, to the police force, to their friends, to their relatives, to everyone, but we don't want to surrender to Lord Krishna. But ultimately when we come to our senses in this material world, we will all have to surrender to Lord Krishna. So, when we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, when we don't want to surrender to Krishna, what is the result? In the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, यज्ञार्थात कर्मणो अन्यत्र लोकोयम कर्म बंधन तद अर्थम कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्त संघ समाचर. He says, if you want to enjoy independently, if you are going to work for your own benefit, for your own enjoyment, then what's going to happen? Karma bandhanat. You are going to be bound in the results of your own actions. Karma bandhana means that you get entangled in the reactions of your own actions. You perform an action, you perform some karma, and there will be some reaction that will rebound upon you. And in this way you are caught in the cycle of action and reaction. And therefore you are bound. And by being so bound in the action and reaction cycle, you have to accept material bodies again and again and again. And so you are caught in the cycle of birth and death. Purushaha prakriti sthohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam kunu sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. Simply because of this enjoying mentality, simply because we want to be the independent enjoyers, the Lord and Master, Lord Krishna says you are forced to take birth again and again and again. Nobody wants to take birth, no one wants to die, no one wants to grow old and get diseased, but you are forced to do it. Because we want to enjoy. So Krishna says, enjoying separately from me, not possible. So he gives us this material body, he puts us in this material world, so that we suffer and we realize that ultimately this is not my position. So Krishna does not want to inflict pain upon us. It is not that he likes us to suffer. But he knows that we are adamant, we are obstinate. And in our obstinacy, we are not going to listen to good advice. Therefore he says, all right, this is the material world I have made for you. You try to be the enjoyers, and when you are frustrated in your attempt, you come back to me. I am always waiting for you. The doors are always open. The father never forgets the child, even if the child leaves the father and goes away. So similarly, Lord Krishna is waiting for us to come back to him. And so he is coming personally in so many different avatars. And he comes once in every millennium. And he gives us good instruction. He also gives us instruction through the medium of scripture. He gives us instruction through the medium of saintly personalities. So here in concluding the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, he is telling Arjuna, so Arjuna, please give up this mentality of trying to be independent. Please just surrender to me. And then I promise you, you will be relieved from all your sinful reactions. You will not be bound anymore. So, the answer to the question, why should I surrender, which is born out of our false ego. The ego within us will tell you, why should I surrender to anyone? So anyone seeking his self-interest will be interested to know that the reason you should surrender to Lord Krishna is because it can relieve you of all the miseries of material existence. It can relieve you of the cycle, the bondage of the cycle of birth and death. And Krishna promises that one who so surrenders to me, I will bring him back to me. This is his promise. So this is the need for surrendering to Lord Krishna. It is not something born out of a sentimental approach to religion, that we just surrender to Lord Krishna. It is something that is a matter of utmost necessity for every living being. So it is interesting to note that Lord Krishna is saying here, Mam ekam sharanam raja. Lord Krishna says, you should surrender to me. Who is that me speaking? It is Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses many words like Mam, which means me, Aham, which means I, Mama, which means mine. So all these words refer to Lord Krishna. There are many commentators of the Bhagavad Gita who say, well, actually, although Lord Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita, but when he uses words like Mam, Aham, Mama, or when words like Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord spoke, when these words are said, actually it is not really Krishna who is speaking, but it is the unborn within Krishna. It is Krishna who is a representative of the Supreme who is speaking. It is the unmanifest within Krishna that is becoming manifest through the words of Krishna. So in this way they try to twist and turn the simple statements of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. But actually, all we have to do is to simply take the message of Lord Krishna as he is. Such commentators do not understand that there is no difference between the inside and the outside of Krishna. Where is the question of the unborn within Krishna? Krishna is full and complete within himself. He is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, which means he has a body. But his body is not a body like yours and mine. His body is made of spirit. Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of Satchit Ananda Vigraha, and he has a form. So he is a person. But he's not a person that is limited like you and me. He is the unlimited supreme person. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And so there is no difference between his inside and his outside. He is completely, wholly spiritual. And also there is no question of Krishna representing some superior authority. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is addressed as Swarat. Swarat means he is supremely independent. He is not dependent on anyone. He does not represent anyone. He is the omnipotent, omniscient, supremely independent Godhead. And it is to him that we have to surrender. And it is not that Krishna is simply unmanifest. Yes, he may represent himself in an unmanifest fashion. But for those who have eyes to see, Krishna is eternally manifest in the spiritual world. He is eternally existing as a Supreme Person. And it is to this Supreme Person, Lord Shri Krishna, that we have to surrender. That is the significance of the word Mam. So it is only when we understand who we have to surrender to that we will really understand Bhagavad Gita. People have written volumes and volumes of books commenting upon Bhagavad Gita without really understanding this one simple, most essential fact of who Lord Krishna is. And without this prior basic understanding, what is the reuse of studying Bhagavad Gita? We will simply be on the wrong platform. We will be misdirected. So it is of utmost importance to understand that we have to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. This is the call. And furthermore, Lord Krishna has also said, Ekam. Ekam means only. Krishna is talking about exclusive surrender. He does not say you can surrender to me, but also if you like you surrender to somebody else and then when you have time you surrender to me. No. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Surrender to me and to me alone. That is Lord Krishna's call to us. Nobody else. Exclusive surrender is the call here. Complete surrender. And unless we do that, this is called ananya bhakti. Ananya means one-pointed, without deviation. And such a person is called a Mahatma. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahu shakha hi anantasya buddhayo avyavasayinam. A person who has surrendered to the Supreme Lord in this way, he is resolute in purpose because his goal is one. He has one-pointed determination to the goal. That is the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And therefore he is very resolute in his purpose. But a person who is a materialist, who has no interest in surrendering to the Supreme Lord, for him, bahu shakha hi anantascha. His determination is many directed, he has many goals in life. Sometimes he is attracted by some objective, sometimes by some other objectives. And in this way, like a football, he is being tossed around by the various objects of this world. So he is forever miserable. But the person who surrenders to Krishna and Krishna alone, he attains complete peace. And then Lord Krishna goes on to say that you have to surrender, and in the process of surrender, you have to abandon everything else. Unless you abandon all the other varieties of religion that you have been following, you cannot surrender to Krishna, because Krishna is saying Ekam. Only, exclusively. It is the nature of the living entity to try to take shelter of something. As we were explaining earlier, we want to be surrendering to somebody. We want to be servant of somebody. So Lord Krishna has been explaining in the Bhagavad Gita so many different processes of religion. He has talked about Ashtanga Yoga. He has talked about Jnana Yoga. He has talked about Karma Yoga. He has spoken about Buddhi Yoga. He has spoken about different branches of knowledge. He has spoken about knowledge of the Varnashrama system, knowledge of sense control, knowledge of meditation. He has spoken about the knowledge of impersonal Brahman. He has spoken about knowledge of the super soul. So many things Lord Krishna has spoken about. And at various times he seems to be giving so many different instructions to Arjuna. But ultimately Lord Krishna is saying, just abandon all these varieties of religion that I have taught you. This is what Srila Prabhupada says here in his purport. He says that Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna to even give up what he has taught him earlier on in the Bhagavad Gita. He is practically speaking, overriding his own earlier teachings. He said, now that I've told you all this information, I have brought you to the level now where I can tell you, just surrender to me. Just do what I tell you and abandon everything else. What to speak of the different dharmas that Lord Krishna has enunciated in the previous sections of the Bhagavad Gita, as if these were not enough. We have concocted in this world so many dharmas of our own, based on our own imagination. So these dharmas, we have Manav Dharma, we have Desh Dharma, we have Samaj Dharma, we have Kula Dharma, so many concocted dharmas. But Lord Krishna says, forget about them. Just abandon them. Don't worry about them. Surrender to me. Don't worry about this Manav Dharma, Hindu Dharma, Muslim Dharma, Christian Dharma. Just surrender to me. So, this dharma that Lord Krishna is talking about, the dharma of surrender, is the real dharma that we all have to follow. This is Sanatan Dharma, eternal dharma. It is different from any other so-called temporary dharma of this world. All the other dharmas of this world are temporary because they are based upon a bodily conception of life, that I am this body, and the kind of family, community, country, nation I have been born in, according to that conception, I should serve. But Lord Krishna says, no, you have one body in this life and you are concocting a dharma according to that vision, according to that conception. But you will keep changing these conceptions even in this life. What to speak of the next life? So these are all fluctuating. Real dharma has nothing to do with all these fluctuating conceptions. Real dharma is Sanatan. It is eternal. What is the meaning of dharma? Dharma means the essential quality of the living entity that cannot be separated from that living entity. Srila Prabhupada gives a very wonderful example. He says, what is the dharma of fire? The dharma of fire is heat and light, because heat and light cannot be separated from fire. Fire has no meaning without heat and light. The dharma of sugar is sweetness, because sweetness cannot be separated from sugar. Sugar has no meaning without being sweet. So dharma is, it is difficult to translate this word into English. But this, it means the essential quality that you and I are constitutionally inclined to perform. So what is that constitutional activity that you and I want to perform eternally? That is service to the Supreme Lord. Surrender to the Supreme Lord. See, it is all our nature. It is only that this basic nature of ours to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, is now temporarily covered over by Maya, by our illusion. Now this temporarily may mean millions of lifetimes, but from the eternal standpoint, it is still temporary. What is the few million years or a few trillion years in the span of eternity? It is nothing. So therefore, the dharma that Lord Krishna is asking us to abandon is all the temporary dharmas of this world. And instead, Lord Krishna is asking us to accept one dharma, which is the Sanatana Dharma, which is surrender to Him. This is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. There is nothing beyond this in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, every living entity who desires his welfare must try to find out, how can I
splendor.
Similarly, we find another great devotee of the Lord, Uddhava, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He also says a similar thing. He says, how is it that one can surrender to anyone but Krishna? How is it possible? It's not possible. Such a personality as Krishna, he's so kind that when the sister of Bakasura, Bakasura was a great asura who came when Lord Krishna incarnated. So when the sister of Bakasura, whose name was, anyone? Yes, Putana. So when the sister of Bakasura, Putana, came to Lord Krishna, who was then playing the role of a small child, she came to him with poison smeared upon her breast because she wanted to kill Krishna on the instructions of Kansa, the uncle of Lord Krishna. And still, Lord Krishna, although he killed her, but he delivered her. He delivered this heinous woman and gave her the position of his own mother, similar to that of his own mother in the spiritual world, in the kingdom of God. Such a person is Krishna. So gracious is he. So this is the statement of Uddhava. Therefore, Uddhava glorifies Lord Krishna and says, it is only Lord Krishna whom we can surrender to. So we can see that Krishna, in this incident of Putana, he knew, because he is omniscient, he is the Supreme Lord, he knew that Putana had come to kill him. But he also knew that she came to him in the role of a mother. So just see, Lord Krishna sees the good points in us. He ignores the bad qualities. So he said, this lady wants to play the role of my mother. So, in actually drinking her milk, he sucked out her life air and he killed her. But in the process of killing her, he actually accepted that good quality, that good desire that she had to want to be his mother. And he gave her the position similar to his own mother in the spiritual world. So this is what Krishna is. He's simply seeing our good qualities. In this material world, we are full of sinful desires. From time immemorial, this heart is full of lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion. But Lord Krishna ignores that. He's just trying to see that spark of desire we have within us to understand him. The moment he sees that this living entity wants to understand me, immediately he comes to our help. And he gives us guidance from within. He sends us to the association of devotees. He sends us to the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord who can guide us. So this is the person whom we have to surrender to. The word Krishna means all attractive. So therefore Krishna is the most all attractive person. Why is he attractive? He is attractive in every way. In the Vishnu Purana, the father of Vyasadeva, Parashar Muni, he defines what is the meaning of God. He says, Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya sriya jnanam vairagyoschaiva sannam bhaga itingana. He says, that person who possesses these six opulences in perfection, in completeness, he is God. What are these six opulences? Aishwaryasya, which means complete wealth. Number two, viryasya. Viryasya means complete strength. Yasha, yashasha. Yasha means fame. Shriya, shriha means beauty. Jnanam, jnan means knowledge. And vairagyam, vairagyam means renunciation. So one who is full, complete and perfect in these six opulences is God. So Krishna means that he has all these six opulences in perfection, in completeness, and therefore he is God. Actually, we can see that even this material world, if somebody has a lot of wealth, if somebody has a lot of beauty, somebody has a lot of strength, we are attracted to that person. For example, Tata, Birla, we all want to be with somebody like that. And everyone wants to be with somebody who is very famous. We like to get our photograph along with Sunil Gavaskar or along with Amitabh Bachchan. These are all famous personalities and we want to get our, in their association, we take autographs and then we tell all our friends. Yesterday I spoke to Amitabh Bachchan personally. So such a person becomes very attractive. Even a person who is very renounced, he becomes very attractive in the eyes of people. People glorify him. Oh, he's so renounced. Do you know that he has not eaten for 24 days?
There is one person who has not spoken for 12 years. Of course, ultimately Lord Krishna says you simply abandon all these concocted dharmas of standing on one leg and standing on your head and doing all these things. Just surrender. But the point is that these things are very attractive to everyone. So Krishna has all these six qualities in completeness and perfection. Therefore, he is the most attractive person. He is attractive from every point of view. Therefore, his name is Krishna. God has different names. In every culture of the world, we find that there are different names of God. But what are these names actually? The names of God are nothing but references to his attributes. Allah means all merciful. Jehovah means all powerful. Ram means all pleasing. Parmeshwar means the supreme controller. Similarly, Krishna means all attractive. So this Supreme Lord who is asking us to surrender is the all-attractive one. So we should surrender to him by being attracted by his beauty, by his omnipotence, by his all-powerful being, his nature. And one who surrenders to him but with this understanding, Prabhupada explains in the purport, is most fortunate. So therefore, it is something that is very natural to us. But it appears unnatural because of this temporary covering here. So simply, by the process of associating with devotees, we can understand what is the nature of Krishna, who is Krishna, and by chanting his names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, the heart will get purified. And we will begin to understand as Krishna manifests himself within our heart, we will actually begin to understand who is Lord Krishna. In the 8th chapter, Lord Krishna had also stated that to be able to worship him, one has to be free from all reactions, sinful reactions. So we may wonder that, well, I am so full of sinful reactions, I am not freed yet, so I will wait till such time as I am freed and then I will surrender to Lord Krishna. But no, Lord Krishna is saying here, don't wait. Just surrender now. And in the process, I will deliver you from sinful reactions. Aham Kvam Sarva Papebhyo. All your sinful reactions, I will take care of them. Don't wait. There is no time to wait. Just surrender to me. So we need not worry. So one person was telling me the other day, oh, I am so sinful, I cannot come to the temple. So that is like saying, oh, I am so sick, I cannot go to the doctor. I don't want to go to a doctor because I am so sick. But if you don't go to a doctor, how will you be cured? Similarly, in this material world, what is surprising if you think you are sinful? Every one of us is sinful. The fact that we are here is proof that we are sinful. Just like the fact that a person is in jail is proof that he's a criminal. So we are all full of so many sins, so many desires, material desires lurking within our heart. So all we have to do is to simply surrender, and Lord Krishna says, I will take care of your desire, of your sinful reactions. Don't worry about it. I will protect you. So in the translation, Prabhupada says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. So I want to speak for a few moments on this word in the translation, just. You see, the pure devotees of the Lord, when they translate, when they write commentaries, they understand not only the literal word-for-word meaning, but they understand the spirit in which the Lord is speaking. So when Prabhupada translates, he doesn't simply say, surrender to me. He says, just surrender to me. Why has he used the word just? Anyone? Why does he use the word, simple word, just? What could be the significance? Yeah, yes? Without thinking, yeah? Right now, very good. You were saying something? With all your heart and all your soul? And you were saying something? Yes? Yes. So all the answers are correct. This one word just indicates, what does it indicate? It indicates a sense among us of urgency. Just do it! Just surrender, Arjuna. Forget about everything else. Don't worry. Ma shuchaha, he says. Don't fear.
So at the same time, it is a call that is urgent. There is no time to waste. And at the same time, it's also a comforting statement that don't worry. Don't hesitate. Just do it, Arjuna. When we use the word just, when you order somebody, just do it for me. It's an instruction implying simply do it without arguing. Don't speculate. Don't think, oh, actually Lord Krishna means this, but I want to do this, and maybe he meant this, and maybe if he did this, and but, and so on and so forth. So, we should simply put all our maybes and ifs and buts and all these things in the closet and securely lock it up. We should simply take that word, just surrender to me. Do it now, Lord Krishna says. This human form of life is most precious, very valuable. We have received this human form of life after transmigrating through millions and millions of lives. And it is only in this lifetime now that we have got the opportunity to discuss Bhagavad Gita, to hear Bhagavad Gita. So there is no time to waste. We do not know what body we are going to get in the next life. So the whole Bhagavad Gita is, it is an emergency. Lord Krishna is not, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in 1 hour. Arjuna was convinced in 1 hour. But we are not Arjunas. Although Arjuna asked question on behalf of all of us, but Arjuna was also, he was a very exalted person. We find that all our lives we are struggling with Bhagavad Gita and we are still not able to implement. So how much of a necessity it is that we have to start right now. Because every moment gone is a moment gone forever. The great moralist Chanakya Pandit says that every moment in human form of life is more valuable than all your great fortune and all your lakhs and lakhs of rupees. Because every second of human life cannot come back once it is lost. If you have lost some money, you can somehow or the other recover it. But if you've lost 1 second of human life, you have lost. It cannot be brought back anymore. So therefore, Prabhupada uses the word here, just surrender to me. Me means the person Krishna. So there should not be any hesitation on our part. There should not be any fear. We are always fearful of surrendering. Just like in the swimming pool, when somebody is trying to learn swimming, he hesitates. Or sometimes we observe that when people want to take a cold water bath in the winter, they hesitate before entering. So what is the way to take that cold water bath when you go to a holy place and want to take bath in the river? Just immerse yourself. Just go in and jump. Just dip in. Similarly, the process of surrender to Krishna is very nectarian. It is very sweet. Because surrender is the foundation of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Surrender to the Supreme Lord leads us to pure devotional service eventually, to bhakti, which is an ocean of sweetness. So we should not hesitate because the water seems to be very cool and cold and very painful. Initially it seems like that. Lord Krishna explains that the pleasure of this world, temporarily, in the beginning, it seems very nectarian, it seems very sweet. But as you actually experience it in the end, it turns out to be poisonous and bitter and painful. But service to Lord Krishna, because we are conditioned by material nature, so in the beginning, just now, it seems to be very difficult to us. It seems to be like poison. But in the end, Lord Krishna promises, it will become nectarian. So therefore, we should simply just get down to the real business of life. Not dilly-dally, beat around the bush, waste our human form of life in so many other engagements. It is such a simple thing that Lord Krishna is telling us. Just surrender to me. And next time, we will actually see what is the meaning of surrender. What is the practical implication of surrender? How the great devotees in the past actually surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So we will stop here now and we will have some question answers if you have, and if there is time after that we will have some more kirtan. So are there any questions? Please feel free to ask any questions or if you want to make any comments. There is a microphone here. Will somebody volunteer to pass it around?
Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. What is the essence of Bhagavad Gita?
What is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita? Well, that is the subject matter of our discussion today. This is the essence. Simply abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto Lord Krishna. That is the essence. Just do it. That's it. That is the essence. Simply. No need for any complicated rituals. Of course, we also have rituals here, but they are all directed towards helping us to surrender to Lord Krishna. Because we are conditioned, because by so many lifetimes of material association, so surrender is a difficult process. To help us in the process of surrender, there are certain rituals and certain procedures that we follow. But we understand that it is done with the ultimate purpose of becoming pure devotees of the Lord. Not simply just to blindly follow it or to just mechanically do it. No. All with the help of Sharanam. Sharanam Raja. To surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Yes, Shravan?
Yes. I understand your explanation on surrendering to Krishna. But how does one deal with or tackle the parts of material desires, like desires to acquire wealth, fame, etc.? How do you tackle that aspect in the process?
Well, I will actually be dealing with that subject more in the next lecture. But I will just briefly answer that the process of surrendering is very wonderful. That is given in the scripture, and we learn that under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, we follow certain regulative principles, certain do's and don'ts. Principally, we do four things. We regularly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, regularly in a disciplined fashion every day, number one. The second do is that we regularly, as much as possible, associate with the devotees of the Lord. Number three, we regularly read the scriptures of the given by the Lord and all other books that are in pursuance of the same conclusions, the books written by the pure devotees of the Lord, like the books that Srila Prabhupada has written. And fourthly, whatever we eat, it is only prasadam. We don't eat anything apart from sattvic food that is offered with love and devotion to the Supreme Lord, that becomes prasadam. So these are essentially the four do's. There are many more rules and regulations which we will all learn as and when we progress on the path. But principally these four. And there are four principal don'ts. What are those four don'ts? Yes? No illicit sex. No meat eating. No intoxication. No gambling. So if you do these four do's and four don'ts, very quickly you will make rapid progress in spiritual life. So my request to all of you is that if you are already chanting 16 rounds of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, please continue with renewed vigor and great discipline and try to improve the quality of your chanting and try to do the other principles more strictly. If you are not already chanting 16 rounds, please try to gradually move towards that goal very sincerely, very regularly. And every time you come here, you should have made some progress in your spiritual life. Every week, there should be some improvement you have made in that 1 week. Spiritual life is a very dynamic thing. Unless you're making progress, you will stagnate. And when you stagnate in spiritual life, you will lose the taste. And when you lose the taste, you will not want to come anymore to the temple or to associate with the devotees. And then you will fall away from spiritual life. So please try to see that every day you are rigorously maintaining this discipline of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Please make it something that is an inseparable portion of your life, something that you cannot do without. So by following all these principles, regularly, all these desires from within the heart, the desires for name, fame, money, material enjoyment, and so on, that you've spoken about in your question, all of them will gradually be vanquished. They will all fade away. It is a gradual process. But rest assured, it will happen if we sincerely follow this process. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You said one person said that he is sinner and cannot come to the temple.
Sorry?
You said that somebody said he is sinner and cannot come to the temple.
Yes.
you made also the statement that we are all sinners, that's why we are here.
Yes.
Do you think we are sinners?
Ah, like that, okay. Well, you see, this material world is a jail. Now in the jail, who are the people in the jail? Are they good law-abiding citizens who are there in a jail? Why is somebody put in a jail? Because he has violated the laws of the land. So the government forcibly sends him to the jail because he will be a nuisance outside. And also for his own rectification. So when you see somebody in the jail, you understand that this person is a criminal. There is no need to actually speculate about it. He is a criminal. But even within the jail, you will find various categories of criminals. There are some criminals who are, what should I call them? They are criminals who will never reform, who are going to be as they are. Incorrigible criminals. From birth, they're going to be like this. You cannot change them. And they're simply carrying on with their criminal activities even in the jail. So they're punished severely by the warden even in the jail. They're sent to solitary confinement. They're given so much of hard work. But there are some others also, few maybe, who are very sincere in following the rules of the prisoner, of the prison house. And therefore the prison master becomes pleased. And they are given certain responsibilities and so on and so forth. So that person who is now abiding by the law, he is a prisoner because in the past he has done certain crime. So he is there in the prison right now. But he wants to rectify. He is in the process of correcting himself. And because he is in the process of correcting himself, so he has pleased the authorities, and very soon he will be released from the prison. So we are like that. In this material world, everyone is a prisoner. Everyone is a criminal. We have broken the laws of God in the spiritual world. So we have been sent here. But a very few people are endeavoring to now go back to God. They are endeavoring to become law-abiding citizens once again. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Lord Krishna says, one among many thousands endeavors on this path of perfection. So very few people in this world are trying to become God conscious, trying to obey the laws of God. So we are all here assembled today, trying to become pure devotees of the Lord. It is not that we have already become pure. We are trying sincerely. So this is the process of purification. There are still many things lurking in the heart, criminal tendencies, criminal propensities that are there. And the more you advance in this path, the more you realize how much filth there is in the heart. So that much more we realize how much more of a sinner we are. So we are trying to become sinless. We are trying to become pure devotees. We are trying to surrender to God. We are following sincerely the process which Lord Krishna has outlined in the Bhagavad Gita. So we are sinners in the sense we have done a lot of sin in the past, and we are now sincerely trying to rectify. That is our position. Yes? Are you satisfied? Are there any other questions? Yes?
See, as it is stated in this slope, that Mam Ekam Saram Raja.
Yes.
And as you rightly said, we have to not add or delete anything from the Gita itself.
Yes.
Other books are independent. So here you will notice, Arjun never addresses Krishna at any time, Ram. He may address his like Kesha or Madhur or something that may be coming in Gita, entire Gita. And Ram is even otherwise popularly known among the people as a different avatar, or in this way is very well known. So why not we stick to the Gita's preaching itself, and we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So that there is no mistake from the preaching of the Gita itself. Because sometimes I would like to see, my parents were very staunch believer, I mean devotee of the Lord Krishna, and they have taught me very strongly, and I am following that principle. I do go sometimes to Ram temple. I just say, or any God. But as you people are also rightly preaching us, Krishna is the only word we should come in our whole preaching. And I would like to request you to even ask this audience, when they chant Hare Ram, at that time what is, I mean, flashing in their mind? Whether Ram is a Murti Ram or Ram is a still, they just spell out Ram and still they imagine Krishna. Sometimes it is very difficult. When you say Prabhu Bhaktipad, at that time I can't remember your face. Because at that time I will remember only Bhaktipad. And when I chant your name, I can't imagine, though Bhaktipad is equally, just Ram and Krishna, you may say they are both are equally good, this, that, everything. But then why don't you stick Krishna Hare?
So actually, it is not that Ram is not mentioned anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, of all the wielders of weapons, I am Ram. So Ram is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, but that apart. The real point is that Ram is also not different from Krishna. Ram is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, number one. Number two, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not specifically mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is specifically mentioned in a scripture called the Kali Santaran Upanishad. And this Mahamantra has been specifically advocated for this Kali Yuga. We are coming in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya, coming from Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma, Madhavacharya, and so on, right down. And finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Lord Krishna, who appeared 500 years ago, and then coming down in the disciplic succession. So we are following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna himself. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, he inaugurated this Sankirtan movement, in which he distributed freely the love of God to one and all by the process of chanting the holy names of God. So it is Lord Chaitanya who actually advocated very strongly the chanting of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we are simply following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. So we are chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra because Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna himself, is advocating this. The speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, and the person who is advocating the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Lord Chaitanya, are non-different. They are the same person. That is why we follow this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We don't change, we don't dilute whatever Lord Krishna tells us. The second part about what should you think of? Well, the word Krishna, the word Hare, refers to the energy of God. The energy of God is always associated with God. You have Radha Krishna, you have Sita Ram, you have Lakshmi Narayan. The energy always precedes the energetic. The consort always precedes the Supreme Lord. So Hare Krishna refers to Radha and Krishna. So Krishna refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And the word Ram, it has, Prabhupada explains in his purports in various books, different meanings according to your bhava. It can mean Balaram, who is the brother of Lord Krishna. It can mean the Supreme Lord Ramachandra of Ayodhya. It can mean Radha Raman of Vrindavan, who is Krishna also. It can even mean Parshuram. But in our Brahma, in our Sampradaya, we generally imply this Ram to be Balaram. But even if you do it with the consciousness that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Ramachandra, there is no problem. But in the process of chanting the Mahamantra, we do not usually try to visualize anybody's face or the deity. We simply try to concentrate on hearing the sound vibration of the name. So even if you are thinking of some form of Krishna or Ram, you should try to push it out of your mind and try to concentrate simply on hearing the sound vibration. That is the process. The chanting of the japa is a process of hearing. Shravanam Kirtanam. So then this complication need not enter. We simply just concentrate on hearing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Each word we pronounce, we hear clearly, and all the perfection of life will be achieved automatically. So thank you very much. I will request you, and next time, this is one shloka that I will be dealing with in two sessions. Normally every other shloka I will do one session. So I request you to kindly be here at 7:30 sharp so that we can start right on time. First 15 minutes we will have the kirtan. Next 15 minutes we will recite the shlokas together, word for word meaning, purport, lecture, question answers. So now let us feast our eyes on the wonderful darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath.